Well, good morning, Fox River.
Morning.
Hey, it's good to be here with you today. I'm Pastor Rob. I want to give a shout out to our campuses in Muskego as well as Waterford who are watching with us today and with us as well. And just a great opportunity always to be able to speak to you, a counter privilege to be able to do that. When it comes to this series that we're in here, just starting actually today, it's called Just Like Me. Did a little bit of research. Do you know that the Bible mentions 3,237 different individuals? How many of you knew that? Like, you're the one who counted them all and put that on Google, okay? No, none of us took the time to count it, did we? But it kind of leaves you with this, wow, I got a lot of them to meet, I guess, here, because I know, like, a guy by the name of Jesus, and a guy by the name of maybe Peter, and a woman named Mary, and, you know, and we can go through and maybe get a handful of them, can't we? And it's like, there's a reason, though, that God put so many people in the Bible, because he wanted us to read it. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather read a biography or an autobiography than probably a service manual. Anybody else like that? It's like, yeah, give me a story, right? God wants us to be able to look at the people of the Bible and look at them in a particular way. People like David, Paul, Mary, Esther, Joseph, John, Daniel, Solomon. There's lesser names like Habakkuk and Isaiah and Nahum. And we can relate to some quite easily, but then others, it's like, what in the world do I have in common with that person? Because sometimes we treat some of them like superheroes. Because there's some amazing things that took place in their life, and it's like kind of like, I'm not sure about how that relates to me. But you know what? They are just like us. They loved, they worked, they worshiped, they married, they mourned, they even manipulated, they murdered at times, betrayed, and begged God for forgiveness just like me, just like we do. And God purposely recorded their stories so that we could benefit from that and we could understand some things from them. What that tells us is this, that the people that inhabit the pages of the Bible, they're real people. And they have real hopes, they have real struggles, and they have real successes as well. And we should never forget that. They're real people, real flesh and blood. And so there's going to be things that we can see from their lives. In fact, I had a history teacher, very wise and just loved that they taught me and said, you know what, don't sweat the facts and the figures and the dates. That's not what it's about. From history, learn the principles. So the things that you shouldn't do, you don't repeat again. And very wise and taught me that if you're going to read historical things, then pick up the principles that you will find contained in it, because those are the important pieces there. And so to be able to take that view even of the Bible, this is what God teaches us. He tells us this really important factor or piece here where it sheds light on the importance of why he included so many different individuals in Scripture. Romans is one of the places that it tells us this. It does it in a few of them, but I think this one puts it quite well. If you look at Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, it says this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us." Now, we could stop there, but he goes on and gives us a little bit more of a description of this. "So that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." He says, I want you to read these stories. I want you to learn about these people. I want you to understand them. I want you to allow them to teach you so that you can have hope and that you can look at their lives and you can say, wow, that's not too far from where I am. That's something that I can use in my life. That's something that I can understand. And so we are in this series, Just Like Me, to see how we can see some of those things take place in our own lives and we can understand them and learn them. So I get a fun one because I got to choose right away which one I wanted to hit, and I'm going to tell you it's one of my favorites. A guy by the name of Jonah. How many familiar with that guy right there? Okay, many of us are. Some may be like, yep, fully know that story. Some may be like, I don't really know that story all that much. Either way, whichever way you fall there, this is what I want you to do. This week, and I'll mention this again at the end just to remind you, I want you to read through the book of Jonah. You might say, I would if I could find it, okay? It's very short, all right? And it's one of those Old Testament ones that are in a bunch of other short ones. So you could be flipping through that Bible for a while before you hit it. So let me give you a cheat here. Turn, if you would, grab one of the pew Bibles if you'd like there, make it easier on you, and turn to page number 1441. You will see the book of Jonah. Now, when I say, hey, go ahead and read it this week, it's only four chapters. Now, you might say, four chapters, that's a lot. Don't think book chapters, okay? In my Bible, it's two pages, that's it. Very short, but very, very good. I think you'll love the story. We'll give you a little bit of a taste of it. We won't read through the whole thing here, but we do definitely want to hit some parts of it. Like I said, for some, this is a well-known story. For others, maybe not so much. And so looking at it and seeing, how is Jonah like me, can be a difficult thing at first, right? Because soon as I say the name Jonah, you can't help but have a visual in your head of a certain animal, right? In fact, you might be thinking, I don't have much really in common with Jonah because you can't get past this picture right here, can you? You think Pinocchio has more in common with Jonah than I do because he got swallowed by what? Yes, a whale. That is biblically incorrect, everyone, okay? The Bible never says it was a whale. It was a very big fish, okay? But you can call it a whale, okay? That's the biggest fish, I guess, that we know of. But he got swallowed by something much bigger than him. We know that, okay? Which already says superhero status on it, doesn't it? He got swallowed by a whale, and he lived through it. So now when we say, just like me, we're scratching our head saying, nah, he's not like me. Or we begin to think, well, obviously the point of the story of Jonah is what? How to survive a whale attack. Okay, let's wipe that thought out right now, okay? Here's how you survive a whale attack. I'll give you that and then we can move on, all right? Because some of you are just like, yeah, how do I survive a whale attack? Never get in the water. And you'll be just fine, okay? You'll be good, all right? Okay. What can we learn from Jonah, though? There's a lot here. One of the things we can learn from Jonah is that he was a man who struggled just like us, and we're going to see it quite heavily here. But the term that I want you to see when it comes to Jonah is this. But God, I don't want to. Can you say that with me? But God, I don't want to. One more time, because some of you are afraid to say that, aren't you? One more time. Ready? But God, I don't want to. Now, how many of you can relate to Jonah? We got some liars in the room still, man. How come every time I ask for that, it's like, come on. We can relate, right? Why? Because that is just like me. There are times in my life that I may not verbalize it, but I'm definitely thinking it. But God, I hear you. But I don't want to do that. That's where Jonah found himself. We find Jonah actually in a very interesting place. He cuts right to the chase here when we see Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1. It tells us, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. In other words, their wickedness is right in my face. Now, what this means is this, is that there was a time when Jonah's heart was aligned with God's heart. They were aligned. They were together step in step. Here's how we know that. You see, sometimes we think Jonah was just this random guy that God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. He wasn't a random guy. He was a prophet, meaning there were several times that God used him to speak on his behalf. And so he's given him another mission. He's saying, I want you to go to the people of Nineveh. They're very wicked. And I want you to preach to them a simple message of salvation and ask them, tell them to repent or they'll get destroyed, and let's see what happens. So at one point, Jonah's heart was aligned with God's heart. We know that because this is the first time that we see Jonah actually do the opposite of what God says. But how do we have a heart that's aligned, or how do we know if our heart's aligned? A heart that hears God speak is a heart that is in alignment with his. Think about this. Two primary ways that we hear God speak. Because you might be saying already, I never hear God speak. I'm not talking audible voice here. Well, I'm talking about this, the two primary ways. One is when we open up our Bibles and we read it. That's what we're doing right now. We can hear God speak to us, to share things with us that he wants us to do, things that he wants us to know. Many things. And we can hear those clearly. And then the second one is, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit that dwells within them. So his spirit and our spirit can communicate. Those are called promptings of the Holy Spirit. Those are ways that God speaks to us. And so if you're not hearing from God, it probably means there's an alignment issue here. Something's not lined up. Or God is sharing and he's speaking, but you're not hearing or you're not listening, because another part is not just about hearing God speak, but also a heart in alignment is a heart that acts upon what God says. And this is where we're going to see Jonah has a problem, and I know I oftentimes have a problem. Because Jonah heard God, and he heard him clearly, but he decided to act opposite of what God says. The story tells us, in fact, that Jonah, after being told to go, we see in verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish, the exact opposite direction here. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. That's going to become a very, very important piece here. So what happens is immediately when Jonah decides, I'm not going to do what God says, his heart is out of alignment with God's. How important is alignment? You ever have something that's been out of alignment before? How many of you had that, right? Now, have you found that if you ignore it, it gets better or it gets worse? It gets much worse, right? Cars, we begin to get a little bit of wear on our tires, maybe, you know, it begins to go by itself, it seems like, in directions that it shouldn't. Things can cause an alignment or misalignment, and so we need to get it realigned, don't we? Well, even other things can get out of alignment, and it creates great trouble. For me, I've had a couple times that I've had that happen. And in those times, it was a result of, I have very strong bones, I guess, because I don't remember ever breaking a bone in my body. But on two occasions, I've had major dislocations. One was an ankle. The other one was a thumb. And when I was a youth pastor, we would make up creative games. And so the creative game was, we'll play soccer with our hands and use balloons. Okay? Good idea. It was a great idea. Until all of a sudden, I'm going this way. Someone else is coming this way. I hit the balloon. I swear they missed the balloon. Guess what they catch? My thumb. And so my thumb ends up backwards on my hand. A dislocation. Didn't take me much time to say, this is not good. This is not good at all. So my buddy, because I wasn't going to let any teenager touch that thumb, and I was too scared to put it back, I said, can you take me to the hospital? I got a problem here. He looked at it about fainted, but he got me to the hospital. I got in the ER. They had no rooms available. So I sat in the lobby, just grimacing in pain. They put me in a chair, in a wheelchair there, just sitting there. Finally, after an hour, a nurse said, you look like you're in a lot of pain. I'm like, yeah, I'm in a lot of pain. Why? Because misalignment can cause a lot of pain, can it? She says, would you mind if I try putting that back? I said, please do, please do. She says, you're going to need something to bite down on and hold on to. And she sees the part that's bulging out the front. She puts her thumb on there. She grabs the piece that should be on the front, and she grabs that thumb, and she pulls it and pulls it and pulls it, and snap, it's back in place. You know what the feeling was at that time? A huge relief. Why? Because when something's out of alignment, we have this urgency to say something is wrong. It's painful. It hurts. It needs to be fixed. Now think about your heart. When your heart is out of alignment, there is something in you and outside of you, God speaking to you saying something is wrong and it needs to be fixed. And we have a decision to make. Do we say yes to God or do we say no to God? And so a heart that is out of alignment, an unaligned heart, has a couple characteristics in and of itself as well. And we see this from Jonah. Jonah knew exactly what he should do, but he decided not to do it. His heart was a conflicted heart. How many of you have ever had that feeling? It's like, God, I know what you're telling me. I know exactly what you're telling me, but I'm not going to do it. Think about it. Where's one of those places? I find one of those places is with forgiveness, right? I know, but I'm not going to. I know, but I don't want to. I know it's not happening, God. It's not going to happen. And every time we say no to God, we're saying, I'm going to live with the pain of a misalignment until the pain gets so bad that you force it back into alignment. And God's saying, you know what? Your heart needs to be where my heart is because that's the best place for it to be. You need to trust me enough here that you go ahead and do the things that I'm speaking to you, even when maybe you disagree or when they don't make sense to you, to trust me and go ahead and do them. And forgiveness is one of those times when it's like, trust, I don't get it. Some of you, God's been knocking on your door, on your heart, saying, you need to get baptized. You need to go public with your faith. And you've been saying, no, God, that's too embarrassing. Everybody's going to think I'm a newbie, you know? It's like, man, everybody's going to think, you know what? I never knew Jesus. And you're like, and I'm afraid of water anyways. And it's like, you know what? No, God's saying, do this. Why would you not do this? Giving. Does that make sense always? Not always, does it? Give something away, God's going to bless. That takes a lot of trust to believe that, doesn't it? And yet God tells us that. He says, trust me. I'm the owner of the universe, people. Are you going to trust me with what I've given you, that little bit that I've given you? You're not going to trust me with it? Who can you trust at that point? And so there are all types of places where we're saying no to God at times when he's saying, I want you to say yes, and we're conflicted because we want to please God, but we want to do our own thing. Not only is it a heart conflicted, but it's also a heart that is deceived. Because when our heart is out of alignment, we can actually lull ourselves into knowing all these great things about God, but doing something differently, acting differently. Notice what happened here with Jonah. I want to read a portion that comes later. This was not a new revelation to Jonah, but in verse number 9, look at how he describes God. This was something that, at least in his head, he believed about God, okay? Look at it here. He answered, he's telling these guys, okay, who are on the ship that are like, whoa, something's wrong here. We're gonna crash, okay? So they see him sleeping, and they come to him, and the sailors come to him, basically ask him a question, ask him, who are you? Because he must be the problem, because he's the unknown guy, okay? So he's got to be the problem here. So they question him, basically saying, who are you? So he gives them a little bit of information. He says this, he answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now, his heart is deceived, because what does he believe about God here? He's the God of what? Heaven? He's the God of what? The land and what? But what is he doing? Do you remember what he's doing? If we go back here, just to the earlier part of the passage, verse number 3, but Jonah did what? He ran away from the Lord. Now, if you believe that God's everywhere, does that make sense to you? Does it? You can't run away from a God that is the God of the sea. On the sea, can you? What is he thinking? His heart is deceived, knowing that God is everywhere, and yet I can run away from a God who's everywhere. That makes no sense. That's foolishness. And yet we'll do the same thing. You see, sometimes we'll get a little pious. We'll get to a point where we think we know better than God. We will devoutly praise God about his vastness and at the same time think that we've got him in our back pocket. And that he's there for whenever we want to pull him out and tell him to do something for us, we can do that. We'll praise him with our lips, and we'll do our own thing, and then we'll ask him for something. And it's like, whoa, what's wrong with that? Because our hearts can get deceived, and they are deceived when our heart's not in alignment with God's. We're not regularly saying, God, your will be done, not mine. But would you reveal it to me? Would you show it to me? I'm listening. Sometimes it's like, no, I can't hear God. Then ask. Ask. Pray. Get on your knees. Beg him to share with you his will for you personally, to help you to engage and help you to understand. A heart is a very important thing. You know what the good news is, though? The good news is we can always go in for a realignment. Now, let's just go, whew, man, that's great to hear, right? Your heart goes out of line, you can go in and get it realigned. In fact, there's no shop for that. You can just go. How do we do that? We do it the same way Jonah did it. Jonah finds himself on the boat. These guys, he basically tells them, the only way you're going to get rid of this storm is if you throw me in the water. So guess what they do? They sweat it bad. They say, God, don't blame us for this, okay? Don't blame us. We're just going to do what the guy told us. They throw him overboard. He gets swallowed by a very, very big fish. And while he's in the belly of that fish, it gives us his prayer. We're not going to read all of it. I just want to read one portion of it to you here in just a moment. He does a lot of soul searching here. Because one of the ways that our hearts get realigned with his, realignment includes this, an honest conversation with God. An honest conversation with God. And we see that honest conversation in Jonah chapter 2 where he goes through and talks about how he's ready to die. He's going to drown. But this fish swallows him. He's got seaweed wrapped around his head, he even talks about. And he calls out to God in prayer is what he does. And part of that prayer is something that is also important for realignment. It's called repentance. Repentance is simply this. It's not a hard thing to grasp, but it is a very hard thing to do. But repentance is a very, very important piece to getting realigned with God. We have to admit to what is wrong, in fact. And so, when it comes to repentance, we see it exampled here, but it's a change of mind resulting in a change of action. Sometimes we stop at the change of mind and we say, I'm sorry, God. I'm going to just keep doing it, but I'm sorry. He wants it to change the actions because the actions are also a piece of the misalignment there. And so part of Jonah's prayer was simply this. Let's look at it. If we go here, and you'll see it here on the screen, he says, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. He's talking to God. What have I vowed? I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. He's saying, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to go to the people. And then later it tells us he obeyed God and he went to Nineveh. And what happened there is exactly what God wanted to happen. The people changed from their ways is what happens. They repent. This time when Jonah's in the belly of the fish, Jesus will come back later in the New Testament and he'll say, that was an important moment because that's an Old Testament picture of salvation. He even says, you know what? When Jonah was in the belly of the fish, that was just like when I was in the grave and purchased your salvation by dying on the cross so that you could repent, so that you could change, so that you could come to me and receive forgiveness. It's an amazing thing that God does. Through Jonah's story, through Jonah's life, and how he brings him to repentance. And it's a picture of repentance for each and every one of us that happens the same way with a change of mind resulting in a change of action. Goes on to tell us that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. And like I said, what happens is everyone, 120,000 people are saved because of that. Now, I don't know about you, because this is pastor talking, I realize. But pretend you're a pastor right now. If I had the opportunity to speak before 120,000 people and they all got saved, what do you think my emotion might be at that point? Hallelujah, right? Like, awesome, God, you are awesome. Thank you, God, for letting me be a part of this. Thank you for letting me be your mouthpiece, God. Praise God. But that's not what happens. See, Jonah's ending is not a good ending. It's a sad story, in fact, because it's a hard thing to keep our hearts realigned. And for Jonah, I wish I could say that Jonah never struggled with having his heart out of alignment again, but that's not the case. Why? Because our hearts are prone to be out of alignment. His was, mine is, yours is, isn't it? It's not like a one-time decision. Okay, God, we're in alignment forever. Forever, I promise you. Cross my heart, hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye, promise. I'll never get out of alignment ever again. And then what happens? 2 minutes happen, right? That's what happens. We're back out of alignment. For Jonah, I don't know how long it took. It almost took so short a time that you wonder if he was ever truly in alignment, but the Bible doesn't tell because it doesn't really matter. Because he gave us everything needed, and he sure played the game awful good, but you know what? If I was in the belly of a fish, I might play the game awful good too. Say, I'm really, really sorry, God, if you'll just get me out of this mess. We do that, don't we? You might say, well, how do you know that his heart was out of alignment? Because of something that happens here. Let's go over to chapter 4. We skipped a lot, and I'm going to encourage you, like I said, to go back and read through this. Verses 1 through 3. You would think he'd be excited about what happens, but he's not. It says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong that these people got saved. Okay? And he became angry. Anger is a good gauge for a heart out of alignment with God. Okay? Especially when God has done something good. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. He became angry. He begins to tell us why. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? You have to do this in your angry voice, right? Because the next part doesn't make sense. That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. Now, this next part could be a praise song. Look at what it says. God, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity or harm. But we need to read it in Jonah's voice, don't we? Because Jonah, what was the emotion he was going through right now? Anger. And so it didn't go like that. It was not a praise song. It was this. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. And look at his next statement. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Why? Because he didn't want what God wanted. He wanted those people to be slaughtered because they were bad people. Whether it was out of pride, whether it was out of hatred, it doesn't matter because it's probably all the above. When our heart is out of alignment with God, it's a problem with our heart, not his heart. And so we're not that much unlike Jonah, are we? Because bad things happen when our hearts are out of alignment. Well, the story goes on, but like I said, I want you to read the end of the story because there's a bigger lesson that comes. And it doesn't come through the fish, but the fish gets all the press. Jonah and the fish. But have you ever heard about Jonah and the worm? Read about it, okay? That's your assignment this week. And here's what I want you to do with it. I want you to look and look at Jonah. And so you see a couple of blanks there under the ongoing struggle. And here's what I want you to do with it. Like Jonah, what do you learn from Jonah? What are those principles that you see clearly from Jonah's life? What are they? Whether it be in a notebook, whether you take your sheet with you, I just want you to write a few of those down. I'm going to give you one, okay, as an example here. For me, as I read through the book of Jonah, this is something that just stares me in the face that I can't get past. God went to great extremes to work in and through Jonah. Great extremes. So extreme that some of us struggle with the validity of it. It's like people don't get swallowed by fish and vomited up on the land. That just doesn't happen, right? God said it did. Jesus even said it did. I'm going to take his word over anybody else's. But that teaches me that God went through great extremes for Jonah. And if he went through great extremes to chase Jonah down, you notice you don't hear much about the 120,000 people that were saved, right? Because the story's not about them. It's about Jonah. And you might think, why don't you just kill him and get somebody else, right? Because he went to great extremes to get one person's heart in alignment with his. And when one person got his heart in alignment with his, 120,000 other people got their hearts in alignment with his too. You see, there was much more at stake here than what we realize. We aren't Jonah, but we are just like him. And so I want you to ask yourself, what is the just like me that I find in Jonah's life? What is the just like me? In other words, be able to answer the question, what is God wanting to do in me that he is so passionately pursuing me to get my heart in alignment with his? What is that? Like I said, those are mine. You can't have them, okay? You come up with your own. But I want you to read the four chapters of Jonah this week. Start today so you don't forget, okay? It's a phenomenal story that God put in the Bible to teach us about him. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you that you record real people's lives so that we can understand the truths of who you are. A God so loving that he will pursue us, that he will pursue us to a greater depth than we even understand. That's a loving God. A God who has a will, a plan, a purpose for us, who wants to see that fulfilled. And yet sometimes our hearts go out of alignment, but then he teaches us how to receive forgiveness. And so, God, I pray for each one here that if nothing else, we'd find great trust in that very fact. Take all these things, God. We pray them in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.